It's been nearly 17 years since the United States government turned its focus towards Afghanistan. To date, the U.S. has spent more than $800 billion on the war. All of this has impacted Afghans on the ground, living day to day in the middle of conflict. Ali Latifi is a journalist in Kabul.
I mean, I left when I was young, and then the first time I came back was in 2011, and I moved back officially in 2013. But what I can say is that the situation is basically progressively getting worse in terms of security and the economy. There has been a lot of development. There has been a lot of changes, a lot of positive things that have come. I think we have to give credit to that. But the problem is that just when you think, you know, things couldn't possibly get worse, that new kinds of attacks couldn't take place or new kinds of targets couldn't come up, they are. I mean, I can't remember if it was in 2015 or 2016, there was an attack on a neighborhood in Kabul at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I remember going to that neighborhood the next morning, and I remember talking to people in that area, and they said, we used to think we would be safe at home when we were asleep. And now we know that we're not even safe in our sleep. And so people thought that that was sort of like, you know, that's as bad as it could get. And then you saw, you know, a truck bomb that killed more than 150 people last year. You see attacks on protests, attacks on schools, on mosques, on, you know, wrestling gyms, the types of places no one would expect.
You know, we're doing this segment because it's been 17 years, as you are well aware, since the U.S. invasion after 9/11. What impact specifically has that had on the country?
I think it really divided the country in terms of economics. And as we know, like, economics is something that drives so much of any given country, right? And I think we've had a situation where I like to put it kind of like bluntly as the haves and the have-nots. So the haves are the usual types of people who profit from war and interventions and things like that. So that's politicians, that's NGO workers, that's media outlets, people trying to work on reconstruction, who have made tons and tons of money off of this country, both Afghan and foreign. And then you have the average people. And amongst sort of like the average person, you know, you had some people who in the beginning years of the invasion, they were working with these NGOs and these media outlets and these embassies and these government offices, and they were making considerable amounts of money. And then in 2013, as all that started to dry up, so did their lives. You know, they spent all of that money. There was never anyone telling them or reminding them that this money would eventually go away. And now they're unemployed or they're working as taxi drivers. So that's why when people say that they're sort of like this middle class in Afghanistan, particularly in Kabul, I don't really subscribe to that belief, because my understanding of a middle class is something that is somehow consistent over the generations, is able to be inherited. And this money is not consistent, because as soon as it went away, so did the lifestyles of so many people.
In 2013, the U.S. announced a plan to withdraw. What was the impact of that?
It was pretty immediate, you know, because you saw, you know, the other countries, the other NATO countries. So I think the first one was France. France started to withdraw. The UK started to withdraw. And so that immediately created less jobs and less opportunity for people. And then you saw slowly that foreign investment was getting less. And you saw that, you know, NGOs and media outlets were also starting to pull out. And these were all sources of income for people. And then from 2013 into 2014, it became the presidential election. And that led to a huge loss in potential economic investment. And in fact, Ashraf Ghani, who is now the president, when he was a candidate at the time, he said we lost a massive amount of potential wealth because these investors were waiting to see what would happen with the election. We're waiting to make sure that there was a proper democratic transition, to make sure that there wouldn't be another war, to make sure that it would be a president that they could trust. And so that in itself led to a huge economic pullback. And that created even more unemployment, to the point where now it's something like 40-45% of the population is unemployed.
And what about the authorities, the military, political leaders? What's their response been to, I mean, A, this unemployment and also just the unrest that's been happening across the country?
Well, this is exactly what people are saying, is that everyone I've been talking to is saying that, how are they not able to take control of this situation? How are they not able to, you know, figure out what's going on and to try and stop this sort of unrest? So there's a real frustration among the people about what, you know, sorts of these officials are doing. Because the other thing we're seeing is that, because after the election, John Kerry came and he orchestrated this so-called national unity government, which saw the number one and number two become president, and then the new office of the chief executive, which forced, I mean, imagine if Hillary Clinton hadn't conceded the election and she was forced to share the government in some way or another with Donald Trump, you know, her and her team. That's sort of the situation we've been in for the last 5 years. And so this is creating a situation where, you know, you have two rival teams trying to run the country. And then even within the teams of the president and the chief executive themselves, there are divisions and defections and, you know, people sitting in office right now within the administration criticizing this administration. And everyone laughs and is like, because they say the government is doing X. And we're like, well, you are the government.
Ali Latifi is a journalist in Kabul. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.